Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the Dirt Sheet show, where we, the only pro wrestling news show you need to watch. The show where we evidently do news. We dig through all the dirt sheets throughout the week, take a look at what the best news is, what the shit you can, like, for example, somebody tweeted at me the news from the Wrestling Observer that Pete Dunne is joining the New Evolution faction. Wasn't actually in the Wrestling Observer. Didn't happen. Somebody just put that on their Instagram under a picture of Pete Dunne, had 415 likes, and then people are running us, say, guys, look at this. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not actually news.
Wasn't in the newsletter today.
So we're here to give you the real news from across the dirt sheet landscape.
Yes.
First up.
First, Kurt Angle, TV return confirmed.
Well, not just at the Hall of Fame, which will be broadcast on the network.
Yes.
But
cable TV. So according to PW Insider, they're reporting that Kurt Angle will be appearing on the post-Mania Raw and SmackDowns.
It's going to be stacked shows, man.
Yeah, and then the Wrestling Observer did report that Kurt Angle will have some type of role within the company following WrestleMania 33. So, of course, we got to thinking, what will that be?
Well, obviously, he's going to be playing Pete Dunne as a member of the New Evolution stable. Yeah,
there you go.
Put on a British accent.
Multiple outlets have been reporting that there's a lot of speculation that suggests that Kurt Angle could be in line to replace Mick Foley as general manager of Raw.
I think that'd be a great idea.
Yes.
But he'd have to be a player coach. I want to see him wrestle a couple more matches.
Yes, absolutely. We did a whole video about people who want to see him wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see all those.
I want to get to the, I want to get to a point where we're tired of Kurt Angle.
Mm-hmm.
Like in about, like, I don't know, 2 months after Raw, when we're still a little ways off from Money in the Bank, the next decent pay-per-view, I just want to be, man, they're doing the same exact thing. Kurt Angle comes out the head of every single Raw, talks for 20 minutes. I'm tired of it. And I'm tired of Samoa Joe coming out and talking. I would never be tired of Samoa Joe talking. He's a great talker.
He's so great.
I want to get to the point where we're very excited that the Wrestling Observer is reporting that Scott Steiner is going to make a full-time main roster return. I don't think it's going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Anyways, it makes total sense. Angle is GM. People love Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fantastic. I think Foley's done a really bang-up job.
He has. He needs hip surgery.
Correct.
Apparently, he's in a lot of discomfort.
Let me ask you.
And the constant traveling only makes that worse. What were you going to ask me?
Nothing. Never mind. I was going to say, it'd be nice if Kurt Angle can like be on SmackDown instead, but they have Daniel Bryan. And I know they have Shane McMahon and everything, but I'm kind of just done with Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon, kind of, he's dull. He's just dull these days.
He seems like he's doing it out of obligation.
Yeah, I know. Like, I feel like he doesn't really care about being there. Or it's just one of those things where... So Daniel Bryan is like a face. He's like the most over dude in the company. And yet he keeps things fun for the most part, you know.
Yeah.
Some days he seems checked out. Yeah. But by and large, he seems like he's having a goofy, fun time.
Yeah, especially on Talking Smack.
Shane McMahon, I feel like, I don't know if he's supposed to be just the mild-mannered guy that people just automatically like because of Shane McMahon. I don't know. There's nothing interesting about him.
No.
He's just a guy. He's just, I don't know. Not huge in that right now. I need a heel turn for Shane McMahon.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways. Well, maybe that's what they were leading to with this AJ Shane match.
Well, in my heart, that's what it is.
Yeah.
What the heck? I mean, it seems fairly obvious. Kurt Angle, next GM of Raw.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It'll happen.
It'll happen. Yes.
And we're probably gonna be there to see it. Do we actually have tickets for Raw?
Yeah, we got tickets for Raw.
Nice. Oh, that's right. They're the ones facing the camera fourth row back, is that right?
No, that's Payback.
Oh, that's Payback. What is Raw?
I don't remember.
Okay.
They're good seats, though.
They're good seats. Nice. Also, in the news.
Yeah, there's a lot of news about free agents currently in the wrestling world, the most prominent of which are the Hardys.
Absolutely.
And following our episode of Newsplex this past Monday, a lot of more details about their departure from TNA have come to light.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to talk about those now. First of all, Monday, late afternoon, evening, Matt Hardy took to Twitter to confirm that the Hardys' tenure in TNA is done.
Right, yeah.
Over.
It's deleted. Their contracts have been deleted.
Yes, the TNA is obsolete.
Yeah.
And they're leaving.
Filled with mules.
Yes. Yeah. And then, you know, one obvious question that kind of popped up, I think, in a lot of people's mind, including ours, we touched on it briefly, I think, in Newsplex, is would the Hardys be able to take their broken universe to whatever promotion or promotions they end up going to?
Yeah, we have no idea.
No idea. But Pro Wrestling Sheet, also on Monday, I believe, reported that there is some debate right now as to who actually owns the intellectual property rights to Broken Matt Hardy.
Right, right.
excuse me. According to their report, Matt Hardy is of the belief that TNA, this quote from their report, that Impact has the ability to profit off anything already filmed having to do with any gimmick he used throughout the course of his contract. But once that's over, he retains ownership of his name and characters, end quote. Mm-hmm. But apparently Impact or TNA, whatever they're going by now, feels that all intellectual property created by wrestlers under contract belongs to them.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Impact...
It should say explicitly in the contract which
company,
way it is.
As a company, yeah. They can feel any way they want. Matt Hardy can feel any way he wants, but, you know, you and I are no stranger to contracts.
Yeah.
And, for example, I knew this was not my contract, but rumor has it when you're under contract with Disney, I think I heard this, no matter what you do, no matter what you create during the time of that contract, that belongs to Disney. On the flip side, there are some contracts, work for hire contracts, where if you create something in your own time, not a part of that company, I understand that you know, that it's yours. You can
yes.
do what you want with it.
Yes.
This should be explained explicitly in the contract.
One would think.
If it's not, I would think it would then default, and I'm not a lawyer, so I have no fucking clue. But if it doesn't explicitly say that the work you're doing is owned by the company,
yes.
I would think you automatically retain the rights because you're creating it. And if there's nothing in the contract that says that company will now owns it,
yes.
then who else is going to own it?
Yeah,
whoever has it. Like I said, I have no idea what's in the contract. I would think, though, that it would explicitly say one way or another.
One would hope. But this is also TNA we're talking
TNA.
About.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows? Yeah. So, I mean, what's interesting about this is that it's such a bizarre situation where you have a character come in, Matt Hardy, who uses his own name, I think. And when he leaves TNA, it's not like TNA owns the trademark to the name Matt Hardy. They don't own the trademark, I don't think, to any of their name. I mean, I don't know. Maybe homegrown guys like Abyss, they might own the trademark to Abyss.
Maybe
I would think
if that was a name and character that was created by TNA, then yeah. I would think so. But, you know, wrestlers who came in
with their own names, yeah.
their own names or their own characters,
right?
I would think would retain ownership of them.
You would think. But then when you add that one word broken or elements of a character, I mean, if you just start dressing a different way. Does that matter? Like, at what point of the bro? Like, does the accent that
I know,
he employs?
Can he just use a word synonymous with broken?
Yeah, I know exactly.
In other promotions,
yeah,
and just do the same thing.
Deleted Matt Hardy. Who
Something
doesn't
like
know that?
That?
You know, everybody
yeah.
would know what that
yeah.
is. So I don't know. I mean, we have no idea what the contracts look like. B, we're not lawyers.
Nope.
But I think that first part matters.
But we do know that Matt Hardy, is still tweeting as Broken Matt Hardy.
Exactly.
He is still tweeting as that character.
Exactly. And I will almost guarantee that the WWE's lawyers far outnumber TNA or Anthem's or whoever's.
Yeah.
So I don't think this would end up really being a problem. But there's the question of the WWE. I personally think... I think that they would love to have the broken character there.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's also, I can also see them wanting them as a nostalgia, but that wouldn't make any sense. The crowd wouldn't accept that.
No, and also,
the crowd totally
also,
knows him as the broken guy.
I don't think the Hardys would accept that.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, too.
You know, also, we have a bunch more details regarding the Hardys and kind of the backstage goings on, what led to their departure. As we mentioned on Monday's Newsplex, the Hardys will be in the Orlando area for WrestleMania 33 weekend with a match against the Young Bucks at Ring of Honor's Supercard of Honor on April 1st. But also...
What a bummer we can't be there for that.
I know. Yeah. But also, according to DailyWrestlingNews.com, the Hardys will be in Orlando on April 2nd, the day of WrestleMania, when they're hosting a broken tailgate party at Saddles Up in Orlando from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And according to... Daily Wrestling News' report, the party takes place just 2 miles from Camping World Stadium
to
the site of WrestleMania 33.
Yeah.
So they can, in theory, walk there.
I really don't think that's going to happen. They could walk there. I don't think they're going to be at Mania. I don't think that at all. I think they'll be at Raw. I mean, if they're going to get signed, I think you know, the WWE. We always say, oh, they're going to be Mania. No, it would be either the Raw or the SmackDown.
I don't know.
I don't see it happening at Mania. I just don't.
I don't know.
They would use that to pop ratings. Anyways, Wrestling Observer has a really, really great.
Yeah, they have a lot of details
about this broken tailgate party before we talk about the details.
What are we going?
Departure. No, we're not. Because it sounds awkward. But do you think they're going to be both fully in character? I know Matt's going to be.
Yeah, Matt will be. I don't know about Jeff.
I'm pretty sure Matt only does in character.
Yeah.
I don't know about Jeff, though.
It'd be interesting if Jeff did, what was his other character? Itchweed?
I would actually quite like. I would like that. You know what? If you could somehow get confirmation that he'd be Itchweed,
then we could
totally go.
Okay.
We'd totally go.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not gonna have time, are we? I'm gonna be fucking exhausted by the day before. And
I know.
Knowing that we have
Saturday
Mania
is gonna be a long day.
Oh my god, it's all gonna be long. We don't. This is one thing that we've discovered from our recent trip just to LA
for a weekend is that we're old. And we don't travel well anymore.
We don't travel well, and we. Dude, Big Jim's house is the comfiest house.
Yeah, it's
you
a good
know what
house.
I mean?
It's a good
it's
house.
Such a comfy house. And even staying there, I get back and I'm sick. My voice is gone for an entire week. I can't talk.
And then I'm sick right after.
And then you're
thankfully,
sick.
Thankfully, it was only early for a day. But
oh, my goodness gracious.
We don't travel
old.
Well anymore.
So, Orlando, I'm looking forward to it. But, man, I don't know how we're going to do that. We're going to have to fly.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anyways, going back to the Wrestling Observer newsletter to this week's edition, a lot of interesting information about what's going on backstage.
Yeah, the biggest takeaway is that Jeff Jarrett is ruining everything for TNA again.
Well, let's get to that in a second. First of all, Wrestling Observer newsletter reports that there may be more departures.
Yeah.
As the company is trying to take wrestlers, this is all from their from the newsletter, quote, from the newsletter. The company is trying to take wrestlers who are under annual contracts and change them to per-show deals, as well as put in the contracts that TNA controls independent bookings and gets 10% of all independent money.
For how long? Well, hold on a second. You're on a per-show deal, however...
That doesn't make any sense.
However, you still get to control the independent bookings? If you're on a per-show deal, doesn't that mean that once that show's done... You're free to do whatever you want.
Also, in the newsletter, it says, quote, the key issues with the Hardys, and another person that just left TNA, Drew Galloway, we'll get into more details about that in a little bit. The key issues with that appear to be TNA's insistence on exclusive deals where they would be in charge of booking the talent's outside dates and get a 10% commission on those bookings. TNA has some involvement in independent bookings, or had previously, correct?
Yeah.
I don't know if they took a cut, though.
From what I thought it was something along the lines of, TNA would crap. It was on the tip of my tongue and now I forgot what it was. It was something like, I think it was TNA would pay the talent. And they would take the money from... take the money from the independent booking, and they would pay the talent.
Okay, that sounds right.
And they would... I don't think the talent would, like, you know... They wouldn't lose a whole lot out of it.
It was like,
they're under contract with us, so we can rent them out to you.
Yeah.
And then they're going to get the money for that.
Yeah.
So that would... And obviously, they'd get some sort of cut.
Almost acting as an agent of some
sort. Like a facilitator.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Additionally, in Wrestling Observer newsletter, they reported that Jeff Jarrett saw... Jeff Hardy as a huge part of TNA's rebuilding effort, and that, quote, when the new regime with Jarrett came in, they felt the company needed a change and wanted to do a more serious wrestling product, which kind of runs counter to the Broken Universe because that's pretty goofy.
Yeah. And you know what? It's funny because with the Broken Universe, with the Final Deletion, with Tag Team Apocalypto.
Total Nonstop Deletion.
That was the kind of stuff that we kind of tuned into.
That's literally the only TNA stuff, apart from one episode I've watched the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. I watched that wedding segment they did the other day, and I thought it was, I don't know, I thought it was pretty entertaining. It was pretty goofy. I kind of like what they've been doing with Damian Sandow. Yeah. With Aaron Rex.
Yeah.
I get the Liberace thing. I kind of like that. It's outside the box. It's kind of goofy. It's kind of funny. I don't know if that's what they're trying to get rid of. I mean, okay. So there's this next bit here. According to Wrestling Observer, Jeff Jarrett's big marketing idea, quote, is something along the lines of, let's make TNA great again. The idea is to present the idea, of course, you know, it sort of gives you Trump ideas. The idea is to present the idea of the good old days of TNA when Jarrett was in charge, and with the idea that things went off the rails, perhaps not using that term since he was gone, but on television, they're going to bury Dixie Carter's regime, whether by name or not, and essentially say the product went to hell. Now, if I recall, the good old days of TNA, they had some really cool stuff with their up-and-coming guys.
Yeah, it was the X Division.
With the X Division, exactly. That's where Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles were built. Guys like that, Bobby Roode. I don't know Bobby Roode's X Division.
Yeah, but probably not.
Bobby Roode was probably during the good old days of TNA, I guess.
Yeah.
But, I mean, back then, like, take the X Division out of it, and there's a bit about the likelihood in the wrestling numbers, there's a bit about the likelihood of up and coming young talent going to TNA when the WWE, they're looking to localize talent across the world.
Yeah.
You know, New Japan snatching up.
Yeah.
All the other young talents,
especially if they have plans to expand to the States.
Exactly. So the well of new talent that's out there, that's really, really quality stuff, is sort of drying up. And so if you take that X Division aspect out of things where you're doing revolutionary wrestling, like, you know, if they don't have guys like Matt Riddle, Jeff Cobb, Ricochet, Leo Rush, if they don't have those guys,
yeah,
they're not doing anything revolutionary like the X Division was doing. They're not doing that.
No.
And so you're stuck with what was great about TNA back in the day. It was an also ran to WCW. He was just trying to recreate WCW, where you have has-been stars at the top clogging up all the main event space.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what that means.
I don't either.
This was kind of interesting, though, this quote from the Wrestling Observer. One person very close to the situation said that Jarrett was negotiating with all three, the Hardys and Galloway, quote, like they were WWE, which they weren't.
No.
So I don't, I mean, if they just feel like they have all the power here?
I don't know how.
I have no idea, but it sounds like Jeff Jarrett. I mean, reading this, my interpretation is Jeff Jarrett isn't interested in the broken thing, like you just said. Wants Jeff Hardy to be old school Jeff Hardy, which people don't want to see unless they, I mean, I'm sure plenty of people do want to see it,
yeah,
but not in lieu of the broken universe.
I don't think so, no.
I mean, they've moved on.
Yeah.
They've moved on.
Yes.
And I don't know. Karen Jarrett's going to be returning to TV in front of the camera. Bruce Pritchard is coming in to be an on-camera personality. How long? What's the over-under on when we're going to see Jeff Jarrett?
A month.
Yeah. You know. And then what's the over-under on when he's going to put their big their world title on himself?
3 months.
I don't know, man. I'm vaguely interested in checking out the first episode of their new era just to see how they approach this.
I know. Because see how different the tone is.
Dude, they've built goodwill with the fans that they have.
I know.
With the Broken Universe, with guys like Drew Galloway, EC3, Bobby Lashley. And you're looking to clear that?
I know.
In favor of what? More Jeff Jarrett?
I don't know. A more serious tone? I don't understand. I
mean, are you seriously looking to start from scratch? You have, Pete, you have.
The one advantage TNA had was that they were willing to do things creatively.
Exactly. They weren't trying, at a certain point, they were just not, they weren't trying to be the WWE. The WWE was taking inspiration from them.
Yep.
With the broken stuff and then the Wyatt compound, New Day stuff.
Yep.
And you're looking to say, no, we want to be more serious? I mean, I'm all for taking a serious approach to your product. I mean, there's a difference between being serious about your business
and taking it seriously.
You know what I mean? It's like they should absolutely be serious about their business and take a look. Okay, well, what episode saw a spike in ratings, if any? Oh, this one, the final deletion. Okay, cool. Well, let's focus on that and let's try to build up the other stuff that isn't working too well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's go after some of that New Japan talent. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Last time I saw Jeff Jarrett, he was becoming a member of Bullet Club because his company had a working arrangement with New Japan.
Yeah.
And who wants to see Jeff Jarrett in the fucking Bullet Club? Nobody. So I don't know.
I don't know either. But
slap nuts.
There have been a few other TNA departures this week. Drew Galloway on Sunday.
This was kind of interesting. One of the interesting things about this, about both Drew and the Hardys also, is that because of the recent deals, or because of the recent acquisition from Anthem by Anthem.
Yeah, kind of apparently the transition of power from the Dixie Carter administration to the Anthem administration hasn't exactly gone smoothly.
Yeah.
And so it seems like people, wrestlers that whose contracts were running up, you know, during the transition, were kind of getting lost in the shuffle. Because both the Hardy, in this Hardy story, and Drew Galloway from his, you know, from an interview, said it was a last minute thing where they gave me a contract finally.
Yeah.
And he did an interview with the Scottish Sun and spoke about that and said that the contract offer just basically came in too late for him to accept it. He said, everything was so last minute. I had to think about backup plans and family because it went to the wire. I was surprised I got no heads up beforehand. And when they got in touch last week, so I guess a week before his contract was up, they wouldn't accept no for an answer. And the financial offer was great. So it was a very hard decision to make. But apparently he had already made plans. Since he wasn't getting a new contract offer from TNA, he went and made plans for other promotions.
Well, they said that they also said in the article in the Wrestling Observer that Anthem had only been able to get these contracts made available
because they finally had talent budget and all that
within
stuff
the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they didn't have a liaison out there that we know of, according to Drew Galloway here, saying, listen, it's going to take this number of days, this number of weeks to get this. But here's, you know, at least they might have some sort of indication.
Well,
like,
at the least you could go and say, okay, we don't have budget necessarily in place, but let's talk parameters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, apparently with the Hardys back in December, they had a verbal agreement apart from a couple sticking points. But with Galloway, apparently, it was, according to this interview, it was a week before his contract was up where he finally got a contract
offer. Another interesting thing about the Hardys, too, is that it was said that Jeff Hardy, because like the Hardys wanted a lot more creative control, not just over the Broken stuff, but over TNA general, which I think is deserved.
Yes.
Jeff apparently tuned out fairly quickly, and Matt was still in contract negotiations. Yeah. So he was trying, and Jeff was like, nope. I want Undertaker at Mania.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But yeah, it's fascinating that they could just that they would drop the ball so hardcore in this. Like you fought so hard to get this company, and now you know the some of the top talent they're coming to this so late in the game. I don't know. It's absolutely fascinating. This fascinates me. I didn't even know about
Mike Bennett.
Mike Bennett and Maria
Kanellis.
Kanellis, because the segment that I watched this wedding.
Yeah.
Maria Kanellis was the very, very, she gave such a great performance as a heel. It kind of bums me out that I haven't been watching her and Mike Bennett. I've heard they've been doing good work and they're putting good stuff together. But during that wedding segment, like she was the main heel facilitator of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I mean that I would absolutely lie. I know she has some history with, I mean, she was obviously in the WWE.
I don't know if exactly her departure was
amicable. I'm not sure. I don't know either.
They, according to PW Insider, also left TNA after a year at the company. And I could be completely wrong about this, but I thought I read within the last 2 weeks that they had already negotiated new deals. But apparently, I think it was Wrestling Observer said that they were working on a per show basis, and they just finally decided, all right, we're leaving.
Man, once you think things are like stabilized, it's like nope. I mean, yeah.
That's... Another thing Wrestling Observer said was that Bennett apparently was close to Billy Corgan.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that played into things at all.
You think things are going to go one way, and then they go a distinctly different way. And it's like, you know, who knows who's had dealings with Jeff Jarrett in the past? I mean, I don't know. I don't know who's cool with him, who isn't. But, you know, if you see the writing on the wall in a certain way, you might just not want to deal with that shit.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, wait, this is the direction you want to go.
Especially after the previous tumultuous year TNA had.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
It seemed like for several moments they could go out of business.
And it's like using TNA over the past 12 months. Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis have really made something even more for themselves because when they were coming into TNA, there was a lot of buzz about
their work in Ring of Honor. Yeah.
And so, you know, what's the next step for those two? I don't know, but I'm interested. Like seeing her performance, seeing like the era of women's wrestling she came from in the WWE, and then seeing where she is now, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's great. It's like somebody who obviously has stepped up their game, found themselves, you know, much more comfortable on the mic, performance wise, all that stuff. That's fantastic. That's that's really good. So I'm looking forward to seeing what's gonna what they're gonna be up to next.
Yeah. And now news on a WWE departure.
Whenever anybody asks the question, "Who do you see getting released next?" This is the last. This is the final guy. Last guy.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna have to come up with a whole new. And I have no idea who would be after Jack Swagger.
The Ascension. That's the answer.
Yeah, the Ascension and the Vaudevillains.
So Jack Swagger announced on Kale Sonnen's podcast that he asked for his release from the WWE, saying, quote, "As of yesterday, I asked for my release. It's still kind of an ongoing process right now. Basically, it came down to contract negotiations. We were way off. They didn't value me at what I thought I was valued at." And he continues, "They weren't giving me the opportunity to make full amount of income I could for my family. So when you put it like that, it's time to go."
That's good for him.
Makes perfect sense.
Makes perfect sense for Jack Swagger.
And so earlier today, Thursday, PW Insider was reporting that Swagger was still officially a part of the WWE. He hadn't, you know, there was no statement regarding his release yet. But then Thursday afternoon, WAW Wrestling in the UK announced via their Twitter that Swagger was just added to one of their shows happening next weekend.
All right.
So I don't know if the WWE's released any sort of statement regarding Jack Swagger's official departure or not. But if Jack Swagger is, in fact, gone from WWE, that's the end of a... He's in the WWE for 11 years. Joined in or signed in 2006. I saw that.
I want that comic book.
Daniel Bryan wrestling a bear.
That's fantastic.
I believe he spent time in FCW and whatnot.
Swagger. Has Jack OVW. Swagger ever been on the indie scene?
I don't know. I don't know.
I can see Jack Swagger going to TNA.
Yeah. But then I also read that he had some interest in doing MMA too.
Oh, that's cool.
Because he has a pretty solid amateur wrestling background.
I'm sure he. I'm sure he's got a lot of options at his disposal.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I former world champion.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, oh boy, he fell off the radar.
Yeah.
He was always so close to being, like, he was always in little storylines that almost could work.
I know.
You know, like, I thought it was great when he put him with Dutch Mantel, you know, and then Cesaro was with him. He was always almost there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I guess the Ascension. I think the Vaudevillains.
Yeah.
Next up on the release train.
Yeah.
But they seem to be wanting more talent than getting rid of more talent.
Yeah.
So, and this looks like it was his.
What about Curt Hawkins? I know he just came back.
He just came in.
But he's not doing anything. At all.
Put him in a 6-month feud with Mojo Rawley. That'd be great.
Yeah, just do something with these talents you have.
You want to open up a slam crate?
Sure.
We got a new slam crate from Loot Crate. These are usually pretty good. I'm usually pretty impressed with the slam crates. I think we've only had one, right?
Yeah.
I think we've only had one. Yeah, I think you can go to lootcrate.com/Steven Larson, put in promo code Friendo.
Yeah.
And get a discount, I think.
Yeah. It's been a while since.
Yeah, I know.
Should put it in the description again.
Yeah, I'll put it in the description.
Let's see what we got. Oh, a Seth Rollins shirt. First, that's heavy.
Ooh.
A die-cast metal.
Oh, that is heavy.
Dwayne Johnson.
This is Dwayne Johnson, everybody. Hollywood actor Dwayne Johnson.
Oh, look at this. This is cool. It's a WWE Championship belt. Here.
Is this a fanny pack?
It looks like it. That's a heavyweight button.
Whoever loses predictions should wear this at WrestleMania.
That's a fanny pack, yeah?
Smell it.
Mm. So you got a button. That's the...
it's like new. It doesn't smell like shit. It's like a new fabric, but it's not
a
really pleasing one.
Old school WWE world title belt button.
Sonata. I'm Sonata.
There you go. See what's in there. And then we got a Seth Rollins t-shirt.
What size is it?
Larson size, maybe.
Perfect.
Large.
They're Topps cards.
Oh, cool.
We have, these are so more prizes for trivia. John Cena.
John Cena. Charlotte Flair.
Charlotte Flair.
Mid Moonsault.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh, one of my favorites. Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens.
Slam 16.
Topps Slam 16.
Cool.
I really want to wear this thing at Mania.
They're carried around like a championship belt, like everybody else does, you know? But it's just a fanny pack.
Who am I?
You're Roman Reigns. Yep. Oh, he knocked over Jericho.
Oh, shit.
Here, let me see this.
Who am I now? Naito.
All right, let's answer some questions.
Oh, okay. Daniel Luna. Hey, friendos, first time patron, Daniel.
Look at this. You can sort stuff in here. You got one large pocket.
You put some weed in there.
A smaller one, and like if you got some pens or pencils.
Whoever loses predictions has to try to get through the airport with weed in there.
Oh, man. That seems like a bit steep punishment.
Ooh, man. That's pretty heavy. They're like, can you please, this is my WWE title. It's obviously a bag, sir. No. Yeah, but I've got my weed in it, TSA guy. Oh.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't say that.
Probably shouldn't say that.
No.
Daniel Luna has Daniel a question. Luna. Been a big fan of you guys since 10 for the win on the Machinima days. Love listening to your podcast in the car, specifically in his car. His question is, Vince decides to make SummerSlam Raw champions versus SmackDown champions. To see what brand is truly best in the company. Who do you put as Universal World, USIC, Women in Tag Team Champions to ensure the show would be awesome? All right. Who would be Universal Champion? It would be Finn Balor versus AJ Styles. Finn is the
I'm going to say Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles.
Okay. United States Champion.
Samoa Joe.
Okay.
Versus.
Ooh, I'll see Samoa Joe versus Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
I'll watch that.
I'm just trying to think of anybody else on SmackDown I'd like to see.
I wouldn't mind seeing Samoa Joe versus Dean Ambrose. I'd be fine with that. They'd probably get creative with each other in a hardcore match.
Yeah, yeah.
All unprotected kendo stick shots.
Women's title holders.
Women's.
You know, Asuka's been booked for some SmackDown live events.
All right, so we're going to do Asuka. Ooh, I want to see Asuka versus Charlotte, dude.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
We missed out on that.
Tag titles.
Oh, I would want to see
New Day versus The Revival.
There you go. That'd be good.
Because ooh, they're going like to be on SmackDown. They're going to be champions pretty quick.
I'd like that. Very good.
JT, a.k.a. one of Dalton's boys.
Uh-oh.
Do you agree that if Will Ospreay and Ricochet were to sign with the WWE right now, that would be the worst move they can do? I feel that they would fall trapped to what the Cruiserweights are doing right now, and that is wrestling a tamed-down style of what they really want to do. Thanks, friendos. Well, I mean,
I don't see anything. I mean, okay, you can't do drivers for the most part.
Yeah.
But I don't know. They do flippy stuff. They don't necessarily, and they're good storytellers.
Yeah.
As long as they don't put them on 205 Live, which I would assume both these guys would be like, I don't want to be a part of.
Yeah, I mean, Ricochet's said publicly several times that he wants to follow Finn Balor's career path.
Yeah. So my answer is I don't think it'd be the worst decision they can make.
Both of them are relatively young. Both of them have time.
I'm not sure it would be the best decision either.
Yeah, Ricochet said he wants...
Oh, man, there's an AJ Styles one we didn't get. Son of a biscuit.
Ricochet has said that he wants to go after the New Japan IWGP Junior Heavyweight title before he goes to WWE anyways.
Yeah.
So that seems to be first on his agenda.
I think that he
Ospreay is only 24 years old.
Oh, yeah. He's got
so
plenty
he's
of time.
Super young. Yeah. Yeah. He has plenty though. Of time. I know. He's awesome.
He's so flipping good. Ivan, the clock cleaner Rodriguez, ooh, cleaned his cock. Ooh, look at his urethra. With how SmackDown turned out, as interesting as it was, there is a slight chance Bray will get the shaft yet again. Oh, man, give me the shaft again, baby hopper. The double turn did not pan out. Norton might get the title before Mania.
No, that's not going to happen. Making Orton versus AJ, I don't think it's going to happen. How do we get Bray out of this possible scenario looking strong and not back to jobber status? I don't think that's a possibility at all. I think Bray Wyatt's going to be in the title match, probably against Orton. But then the question is, Orton standing strong at WrestleMania. The problem is this. What happens after Mania? Are we simply going to get Orton with that belt, or is Orton going to put Bray over?
I don't know. I just want something interesting to come of it.
I know, me too. And I think Orton standing there with the title is probably going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's not very interesting.
Well, you know, like we said in our SmackDown recap, we thought it sounded like the Randy chants following the...
Apparently we're not.
Yeah, we're not piped in.
Yeah, apparently they were legit.
Which is interesting because it seemed pretty obvious to me that Randy was being a heel.
He literally set a dude's house on fire. Like, I know. How are you going to cheer that?
I know.
I'd start booing it. Boo.
Boo. Arson's illegal. Boo.
We're both homeowners. We both know what that's like. I don't want somebody
doing
that to my house. I'm just doing my job.
I know. Hopefully Bray had homeowner's insurance.
You would think.
Nationwide
is on Bray's side.
There you go.
Nicholas Combs.
Hold on. I was still thinking.
About what?
Here's my worry. Let's say WWE had planned this out, so this was a heel turn for Randy and face turn for Bray. Based on the reaction Randy got at the end of SmackDown, I mean, they put the brakes on that, or at least pumped the brakes a little bit, thinking, well, the crowd responded so positively to Randy, maybe we should not do that.
I think that in the WWE's mind, in the collective consciousness of the writer people, Randy burning down a home is totally a face thing to do. And he totally got the response they were looking for. He's totally winning that belt off of Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. I think that's it, man. Sometimes faces do fucked up things.
Because I can't think of anything potentially more boring to end WrestleMania than a face Orton winning the belt with nothing interesting to follow.
Well, didn't they send Roman Reigns out there to make his Royal Rumble win more palatable? Wouldn't that make you think that they would understand?
Yeah, they wanted a face pop. Yeah,
that Orton simply holding the title at the end of WrestleMania. We've probably seen that a bunch already, like in the past 20 years, and that wouldn't be like the most exciting way to end.
I know you're in trouble over there.
Not anymore.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, it is.
My goodness,
it's made of actual The Rock. Made of actual Dwayne Johnson. It's very dense. Nicholas Combs, what do you think the chances are Taker will interfere in the Reigns versus Strowman match?
Watch our predictions episode for Fastlane. That will go up Thursday evening.
Robert Huff. This is Robert the Black Bobby Heenan Huff. First time asking a question. Please keep up the good work. Just got hip to your channel on YouTube during work. All right, where's your question? Do you think WWE would benefit from adding a TV title of some sort? It would help build and add legitimacy to a wrestler without forcing them into the main title
scene. Network title.
They have also the US title and the IC title.
Yeah.
I think those are good enough. I honestly don't think they need another title.
Network title.
They have plenty of titles. Jimmy Rodriguez.
What are your thoughts on contract signings? Sure, they advance the story a bit, but they always end with brawls, and I think they are necessary since they're already under contract to begin with. Thank you very much. You guys are awesome. See, I don't mind the violence aspect of it, but the second point here, all these wrestlers are already under contract. Why do they have to sign contracts for individual matches?
Drama. No, it doesn't make a lick of sense. It
doesn't make any sense. Because if they are under contract with WWE, whatever WWE says in terms of wrestling to do, they do.
Well, that's a good question, though. Do they all have to sign individual match contracts before?
For every match, yeah.
For every match?
Like even on Raw and SmackDown? On Superstars? On Main Event?
Well, you show up. You show up. Go get your contract signed real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then get ready.
But knowing that's not how it works.
It's like signing in.
You
clock in.
I understand all that. But still, I mean, you know.
For your appearance tonight.
For wrestlers, you'd think you'd want your lawyer to look at each contract to make sure everything's on the up and up.
That's a good point, actually. That is a very
good point.
And that
takes time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I don't think they do.
No.
And so that is actually a really good point. Thomas Maltby.
Hey, Larson and Steve. Our names are out of order. It messed me up. First time question asker here. Also, second week patron. But my question didn't get read last week.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sorry. Thomas.
So I'm not sure if either of you watch Dan Nerdcube's WB 2K16 complete series, but the character he made was, how do you say his name?
Scipio or Scipio Africanus.
Okay. Thomas's question is, would either of you sign Scipio for W Steve W or Fun Wrestling? Thomas feels that he could fit into either depending on his promos. Thanks, guys.
I'd have to watch the entirety of Dan's series to understand the character.
Me too.
And those probably like, what, a 50-episode series?
Probably.
Dan's a very prolific YouTuber.
He is.
Puts out a lot of stuff.
Also, I'd feel like I would need Dan's blessing to include his character on my show.
Oh, he'd give you his blessing. He'd be cool with it. Yeah, go ahead. That's fine.
But I mean, if he thought that his character was a better fit for your show, he might not want me to use him.
Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Where would Dan prefer that? Knowing Dan as good as I do,
yeah,
being practically his best friend, I think he'd obviously want him in W. Steve W.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
I don't know. You know how I would love to use Scipio Africanus?
Yeah.
Is if I did the Steve Rumble.
Okay.
Like at the head of my pay-per-view,
yeah,
in the pre-show, it would be like one-time characters,
yeah,
just for that Rumble.
Yeah.
And I would throw him in there. I'd have to like find a way to make the Funhouse guys their characters, get them in the Fun Rumble.
Yeah. See, James and Lawrence's characters, they fit right into Fun Wrestling.
Yeah, no, but they'd be in the Steve Rumble.
No, but they'd be in Fun Wrestling. You couldn't sign them.
No, I can't.
To a Steve Rumble, no.
It'd be a Steve Rumble.
They're already going to be in Fun Wrestling.
And I'd use Chris Danger, isn't that Chris Danker's guy?
Mm-hmm.
Use him. I'm sure Pulse James, I'm sure he has a guy.
Oh, James Falcon?
Yeah.
I think
that's
his name.
Oh, there you go.
I
okay.
think that's his name.
Get him in Fun Rumble. All my career guys.
Okay.
Get them all in there.
You want to answer some video questions? We have a lot of them again this
week.
You
got a bunch of them. $20. $20 a month. You guys can put your ugly, ugly faces here on Going In Raw. Your video questions. We got video questions. Actually, first up, the very dapper Alexander Carenti.
Yeah.
Let's see what he has to say.
Beard for life, Larson. Botched too sweet for Steve. George Animal Steel passing away was tragic. Captain Lou Albano was his manager, and they were such a great pair. My question is for you guys, who's your favorite manager of all time, and who currently on the main roster, male, female, whomever, could use a manager in the worst way? Thank you, guys, and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you, Alexander.
Favorite manager of all time, Paul Heyman. Bobby Heenan's up there, too.
I mean, I can't not say Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
But I feel like Heyman and Heenan, they're like deity tier.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find like somebody else. Who's the worst manager of all time?
Oh, wow. Not the worst, but another one that's maybe close to...
Cornette's up there.
To God tier?
Ellering.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Ellering's really good, too. Okay, so let me ask you this. You're debuting Larson.
Yeah.
Who do you want your manager to be?
Of current managers?
All time.
All time? I think I'd go with Heenan.
I wouldn't. I'm already a talker. I'm going to go with, who would I jive with good? I'd want Teddy Long to be my manager. Okay, playa. Steve, we're going to put you in a tag team match. No, not again, Teddy. I want to be a singles guy. Tag team, playa.
Alexander also asks, who on the roster, current roster, could use a manager?
Oh, man. I want Apollo Crews to have Paul Ellering as his manager, but Ellering tries to get like sinister and stuff, and Crews just is like a normal dude. So he's like, that's just too heavy. I just need you to book my hotel and travel arrangements. You know, maybe give me some tips.
Yeah.
But Ellering's like, no, we need to change you into the, you know, Master of Mayhem or some crap like that. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably something cooler than that.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
Yeah. I don't know. Who do you think could use a manager right now? I really liked when Charlotte had her dad with her.
Yeah.
I thought she was good. I think that's it. That's what I think would be cool. If Lesnar ended up retiring, just go look at his land, and Heyman needed a new guy, I think it'd be really cool if he got, like, if he had Charlotte.
I know,
that would
be cool. That would
be really neat.
That would be cool.
That'd be cool.
I agree with that.
Thank you, Alexander.
Hidden Paper Face.
Let's see what Hidden Paper Face has to say.
Hello, guys. So, my very first WWE live event was way back in 2008, and it also happened to be the on-screen debut of R-Truth. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, he was pretty big when he first debuted. Now, this is coming from a mind of what was a 12-year-old, so don't trust that. But I remember him being pretty big when he first debuted. So that got me thinking, now that he's in Golden Truth and pretty much has no on-screen time whatsoever now, what other current NXT superstar that's pretty big right now could end up in the same situation 5 or 10 years down the later, except in like a team with James Ellsworth?
Thank you, Hidden Paper Face.
Thank you.
So who in NXT who's popular now runs the risk of going to the main roster and kind of getting lost?
No way, Jose. No way, Jose. Works someone, best in a small crowd.
What about someone more in the upper card?
I don't think for a second they're going to bury Shinsuke.
No.
I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. I don't see Bobby Roode getting buried. Bobby Roode is going to be a WWE World Champion,
yes.
Universal Champion. That's going to happen.
I don't know if Ty Dillinger has quite as high a ceiling as those two gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, no, not, yeah.
But based on the power of his personality and mm-hmm. the Ten Chant,
mm-hmm.
he's going to stay relevant.
Yeah, I know. I agree with that.
So totally. I'm just trying to think of someone in the upper mid-card on NXT currently that someone like, say, if they bring Roderick Strong up
yeah, that's
before
be
they
problem.
Develop a character for him.
That's going to be a big problem. Big problem for him.
Yeah.
He'd face Apollo Crews levels of resistance, I guess.
Yes.
You know? Yeah, that'd be a problem for him. If High Voltage came up right now.
Heavy Machinery.
Yeah. No, they'd be freaking popular. Are you kidding me? Sanity's ready right now.
Yeah.
So many good talents. If Liv Morgan came up right now, they would have major problems.
Potentially. Yeah. Especially if she went to Raw.
Oh, yeah. She would just be another jobber for Nia Jax.
Yep.
Next, thank you, Hidden Paper Face. Next question is from Jordan Carter. Let's see what Jordan has to say.
Hey, friendos. So over the last couple of months, I've been watching a lot of New Japan, learning, trying to get caught up, figure out what exactly is going on, who's who. And then I've been hearing a lot of rumors about the WWE trying to sign a lot of the top stars, Kenny Omega, Adam Cole, a couple of those guys. So my question to you is, who over in Japan do you think that's not a top star yet, but is maybe floating around in the upper mid-card would think would do really well in the WWE system? I think Michael Elgin would just come over here and kill it. That dude is huge. He's doing a lot of the things a big guy shouldn't be able to do, and he makes it look effortless. Shibata just kills it every time. Naito, dude's insane. And then Will Ospreay. I think if he comes over, maybe has a little more of a grapple game going, I think he would do really well. But I think that guy's the face of the WWE to come. So let me know what you think.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
He brings up some good names. I agree with him with Ospreay.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ospreay would do really well in the WWE system.
Do you think, let me ask you something. We're both huge Naito guys.
Yeah.
If it was announced tomorrow that he signed with the WWE.
Yes.
Would you be excited?
In one sense, yes.
We'd both be stunned?
Yeah, in one sense I would be. Because, I mean, he's a walking dream match.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's I enjoy seeing him in New Japan so much.
Yeah, I know.
To not be able to see that anymore would be a bummer.
Yeah, I know. And I wonder, like, I'm not sure he has the same. He's so perfect as a heel. Shinsuke works so perfect as a face.
Yeah.
Because he's a rock star.
Yeah.
He's a rock star.
Yeah.
Naito is like a perfect heel. I don't know. I guess it depends on how they. I guess it just depends on how they booked him.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Shinsuke, like, has the aura of an alien. Naito doesn't. So I don't know if I'd be jazzed about that.
Yeah,
I'd be scared if he came over.
Like he'd be misused.
Yeah, but then
or underutilized.
Jordan's question is kind of the opposite of that.
Who in the upper
mid card would do well?
What about Shibata?
Oh man,
he could get over strictly on ring performance. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just that stiff dude in there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or Goto, even for that.
The guy that
matter.
Everybody. Yeah, the guy that everybody's freaked out by.
Yeah,
I'd say Shibata.
Yeah,
for sure. Juice Robinson.
Okay.
I'm joking.
I know you are.
CJ Reebley has a question. He's one of my favorite video question guys. Let's see what CJ has to say.
So I was wondering what current superstar should take on and adopt a former superstar's signature or finisher. I think Apollo Crews should take on the Razor's Edge. All right. Talk to you later, friend. Bye.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, CJ. Very concise.
I like his suggestion for this question, that Apollo Crews should start using the Razor's Edge.
Doesn't Sheamus use a Razor's Edge?
Not anymore.
He stopped doing that.
Yeah,
okay.
He hasn't used that in a while.
Yeah,
he just uses the Brogue Kick exclusively.
So, give me a former signature / finisher that you think a current wrestler should adopt.
Problem is, there's not a whole lot of moves. There's not a whole lot of moves that just aren't used.
Yeah.
Usually if moves aren't used, because they've been banned.
Mm.
I mean, people do. Like, Owens does a frog splash. Rollins does a frog splash.
I want to see Cedric Alexander use the Van Terminator.
Okay, that's a
good
answer.
What I want to see.
Great answer. Great answer, Steve.
Thank you.
Great answer. Next question from Adam Fella.
Adam, what do you have to say to us?
Hey, friendos, your Stardew Valley champion Adam Fella here, returning for another video question. And I apologize for the different way I'm recording this video question, but moving on. I feel like I'm the Teddy Long of the friendo community, because I love me some tag team matches of weird tag teams, impromptu, all that kind of stuff. So my question is, let's say you're Teddy Long, or let's say you're me. You have to pick one superstar from today to tag with an old legend to form a new tag team. Who would you choose and why? I'm going to show a little example of my own that I made in WWE 2K17. It is AJ Styles and Ric Flair, and they are styling and profiling. Thanks, friendos. Take care.
Thank you, Adam Fella.
All right, so one guy from today, one guy from the past. He loves the weird tag teams.
Yeah. He had AJ Styles and Ric Flair.
All right. Well, I'm going to say Baron Corbin and Lex Luger.
Why?
Because.
And what would they be called?
They would be called the Total Baron Corbin.
The Total Wolf.
The
Lone Package.
The Lone. Yeah, it's perfect. The Lone Package. I love it. The Lone Package.
I'm going to have... now I'm trying to think in terms of nicknames that I can put together.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to have Lex Luger and Randy Orton.
Okay.
The Total Viper.
That's so bad.
The Apex Package.
The Apex Package. That's good. Carlos Hackworth has a question, our WWE low-level writer. Let's see what he has to say.
Friendos, my question for you this week is, seeing as how we don't really see enough of Titus, Darren Young, Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, people like that, Mojo Rawley, and Raw and SmackDown really doesn't do too much with their mid-card and lower mid-card guys. So my question to you is, what feuds would you have those guys be in? And would it be for a title or not? Thanks. Love the show. Keep it up.
Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. It's kind of interesting. You don't see a lot of guys like Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, Titus O'Neil. You see him a lot.
Yeah.
He's trying to make friends.
Darren Young hasn't been on TV. Well, he's been on TV once or twice since like October, November of last year. It's been
a long time since we've seen him. I guess Darren Young.
Oh, he's hurt now.
Oh, he's hurt? Okay.
Yeah, he had to have surgery on his elbow, I think.
So with Jack Swagger gone, that kind of elevates Curtis Axel to next in line.
Yeah. He's a guy who I think would do really well on the indie scene.
Yeah, I think he would too.
Remember when they were in Minneapolis or something and he came out, cut a promo, had a match, which he lost, but it was a really good promo.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd was behind him.
Yeah.
Match was decent.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been on Raw ever
it's
since.
It's weird. They usually love the legacy guys. They usually love the heritage guys.
Anyway, they thought, you know, they've given Curtis Axel chances.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, what, tag champion when he was McGillicuddy.
Mm-hmm.
When they changed his name to Curtis Axel, they put the IC title on him, gave him Heyman.
Number one.
Didn't get over.
All been terrible names. His first name is Joe, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joe Hennig.
Yeah.
Why not just fucking call him Joe Hennig?
I know.
Joe Perfect.
All of the names that Carlos mentioned are really talented wrestlers. And it's a bummer that
the fact that Bo Dallas is not on the Wyatt's family is a crime.
Hey, maybe Bray will call on his family to help him out against Randy Orton, his real family.
Maybe Bo is Sister Abigail.
Could be.
Yeah. Jason the Cabbie.
Friendos, Empire of Filth Ambassador Jason the Cabbie here, talking this week about character. Now, in addition to you guys, I'm also a big fan of the Game Grumps. And in a fairly recent video, Ego Raptor was talking about how someone approached him and asked, how do you write women? And he said, it's simple. You just write them as people and make something like gender an aspect of the character rather than the focus. And the WWE's track record on this style has been 50-50 at best. For every asshole who just happens to be British, like Neville, you have a, as entertaining as he might be, cartoonishly stereotypical British guy like Jack Gallagher. For every dominant force like Asuka, you have mean girls and beauty queens like Billie Kay and Nikki Bella. And this was even kind of hinted at in last night's NXT with the gay thing that they're trying to hint at with Patrick Clark. So my question is, how do you go about fixing this and preventing stereotypes from being part of the future? Or do we just keep on with this path because wrestling is cartoonish? Keep it filthy and never forget the sacrifice of Ulysses.
Thank you, Jason.
What a loaded question. Number one, I'm not sure, we talked about this a bit off camera, that the Patrick Clark gimmick is a stereotypically gay thing.
I'm taking it as we mentioned this on the NXT recap that it's inspired by Prince.
Yeah, exactly. I think to his point, some people who aren't as I don't want to be condescending and say people who aren't enlightened, but I can see how some people in the audience might take it as such, and so you have to walk a fine line there, which WWE. They're not always great at walking fine lines. Do you think Jack Gallagher is really a stereotypical, is like a stereotype? I kind of see that.
I kind of see it too.
But he gives it actual personality.
Well, he does. And at times he gives it some edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's a gentleman, but yet he's not afraid to fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, I don't know, man. You just, how do you write?
Yeah, as he kind of, his preface for this question, you know, you write people as people.
Yeah, exactly. You write interesting characters who are molded in life by their experiences.
Yes.
Which can be related to, you know, their culture, gender, race, proclivities, whatever.
Yes.
I don't know. I think, I'll put it this way. I think compared to where we were 10 years ago versus 20 years ago versus 30 years ago, we're in a much better place now.
Yes.
Than we ever have been.
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, God, what was like the Mexicools? They came out like on riding mowers and stuff. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good at all.
You know, I mean, even you wouldn't see something like Crime Time these days.
Mm-mm.
You know, you wouldn't see that. And so I think we're in a good spot. And I think we're only sort of getting to better spots.
Yes.
You know, so. Patrick Sparks, he has a question.
Hey, friendos, Pat here. My question for you today is, with the recent rumors and news of Shaq not being able to do WrestleMania 33 with Big Show, apparently Big Show's pretty frustrated about it because he wanted to get in shape and have a good match, whether it be against Shaq or probably just a WrestleMania. That being said, is there any way they could do something else for Big Show? What do you think they could do? What do you think Big Show would want to do that's not embarrassing? Because, you know, he's getting up there. He's probably going to leave pretty soon. He probably wants a couple more good WrestleManias, if not this one last one. So what do you think he's going to do? And on a side note, do you think that Maria Kanellis and Mike Bennett will go to WWE/NXT? Because I feel like Mike Bennett could be pretty good in NXT with Maria by his side. I just don't know how Maria's past in the WWE would affect that. Thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick.
Patrick, I feel like he's literally on the freeway in this question. Like, there are cars buzzing about.
It looks very cold.
He looks freezing. I feel like he's lost.
Yeah.
And yet he still makes time to do his video question.
Maybe he was just driving home from work and had an idea for a great question, pulled off the side of the road,
yeah,
recorded said question, sent it to us, and then continued his commute.
In my head, Patrick was driving. Oh, I have to take a pee-pee now. I need to get out of the... And he took a pee-pee, and then he was like, oh, wait a second. Now that I'm here, I might as well ask my video question. So he did that. Oh, we love Patrick.
Yes.
So this one interesting bit in the Wrestling Observer as well that we didn't
mention. Well, and it's been reported throughout the last couple of weeks that the long rumored match between the Big Show and Shaquille O'Neal that was supposed to happen at WrestleMania is apparently maybe potentially not going to happen.
And that is apparently upsetting the Big Show a little bit because he figures this to be his last WrestleMania.
Potentially, yeah. I think he said his contract was up February 2018.
It's up in February, and he's pretty sure he's not going to be sticking around. And he said, you know, this was going to be my last WrestleMania, and it was going to be a featured match. So, you know, he's going to be disappointed if this doesn't happen. So I don't know. I hope that they do, you know. I would love for him to win. If Shaq doesn't happen, have him win. I know that it's going to be Braun. But Braun wouldn't. It wouldn't hurt Braun too much. Or maybe it'd be a legacy passing of the torch thing if Braun eliminated Big Show from the Andre the Giant Battle.
Yeah, they had a pretty good match on Raw.
Big Show
last
looks,
week.
Big Show looks great.
Yeah.
But watching him wrestle now in his current state, it makes me kind of hurt.
Yeah.
As opposed to when he was rotund.
Yeah.
Do you feel the same way?
No, I think it's just the last couple of years I felt that way. Regardless
really?
If he was in shape or, you know, slightly not. And I think that has more to do with his age.
Yeah.
It looks like it just hurts for him to run.
Yeah, I know.
And he's got a lot of mileage on him.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
he's been wrestling for 20 years.
I know.
Which is impressive 22. For a guy of his size.
22 years.
That's crazy.
I know.
So I'm sure that, you know, when he's on a full-time schedule, he wakes up every day sore.
Yeah.
And that's probably just not comfortable.
Yeah, you're probably right. He also wants to know...
Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis.
Yeah.
Whether they could go to NXT. I think they'd be great additions to NXT, especially, you know, if Shinsuke leaves, mm-hmm. if the Revival... DIY leave.
I really hope Bobby Roode isn't in NXT that much longer. I don't want them to wait a whole nother year for him.
Yeah.
I don't want him to debut in the Raw after Mania 34. I want him to debut in the Raw after SummerSlam. That's what I want to have him with Bobby Roode. Because he's on, I'm not going to say he's on limited time because he looks amazing.
Yeah, but he's 40 years old.
Yeah. You know, time to get going, moving on that.
But yeah, considering there could be a lot of departures from NXT within the next 6 months, even if not year.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Bennett, from I haven't seen a ton of his work in TNA. Actually, I've only seen one episode he was on, but I was impressed.
Yeah.
And apparently he was doing really good work in Ring of Honor before he went to TNA.
Yeah.
So, and you just spoke earlier about Maria Kanellis and the work that she's been doing in TNA.
For sure.
So assuming that they're, you know, the relationship between Maria and WWE is decent.
Right.
Which I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it's always a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you very much for your video questions. Again, $20 a month on the Patreon, Mark. You can get in all these ugly mugs on our face, man. Nah, I love all these guys. They're all handsome, dapper individuals. We love them all. We like to give people shit on this show, Larson.
Yeah.
It's part of our community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for now. Till next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.